first impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springsteen of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
So, I want you to get up now. I want all of you to get up out of your chairs. I want you to get up right now and go to the window, open it, and stick your head out and yell, "I'm as mad as hell, and I'm not going to take this anymore!"
Welcome, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome once again to the Ed Springsteen Show, brought to you by the MVM Radio Network, home of LouisvillePolitics.com and EdSpringsteen.com. For you guys that are new to the show, call in numbers as always, 858-683-1326 or 502-805-0334. For you guys in the listening queue, as always, we appreciate it. Hit that number one on your dial pad and we'll get you on air as soon as possible. And for everybody else, you can log in with Facebook or anything you want to and join the live chat. So there you go. I tell you, we always have something going on in this city. We do originate out of Louisville, Kentucky. Always something going on in this city. Nothing is ever a surprise. But we also have national things going on. So we're going to hit a little bit of both tonight. And we're going to start with our good friend, Dale the Truth. How are you, sir?
I'm doing great, my friend. It's a beautiful day outside. How are you?
Oh, you know, it's a fantastic day outside. 40 degrees, raining most of the morning.
That's my kind of weather, man.
Nice
and
cloudy. Oh, I tell you, a lot of people think I'm nuts because I actually agree with you. I like the colder days or the cooler days versus the summer days. I can't stand the heat. And it's amazing because I always call so much heat to say that I can't stand the heat. That sounds bad, but
I would rather. Because when hot weather gets here, people complain the more clothes I take off, so. You can always put more clothes on, folks. You don't want me taking off too much. That's why I like it colder.
That was a visual image I did not need on this Wednesday night. But hey, that's okay. It's hump day, and now I got to think about Dale Gillespie taking clothes off. That's a scary thought. I tell you. But as always, we have news to report, man. There's some interesting things, developments in the Greg Fisher and Kevin Cosby lawsuit that was filed with Jay Morgan. I can't go into a lot of details with that, but from what I understand, and we're hoping to get an update on this in the next few days, but from what I understand, there was some kind of deal reached with Cosby that's going to ultimately dismiss him from the lawsuit. I don't know. This is rumor control right now. We're going to find out very, very quickly. So that's the big rumor today. But I tell you, this is an interesting story. We talk so much on this show, Dale, about pension plans and all the other stuff that is destroying, the Kentucky budget. It's also destroying local city budgets, second, third, and fourth class cities. Audubon Park is a good example of that. A story coming out of WDRB, the Audubon Park City Council voted to stop their retiree payments to the three people that they have receiving a pension. They include a former police chief, a former police officer, and a clerk. So they've got three total people receiving pensions from Audubon Park City, and they just sent letters to those individuals notifying them that they were going to stop their retirements. And if that wasn't bad enough, Dale, this is where it gets really funny. The city council also is asking these former employees to return all the money that has been paid to them over the years in retirement. How do you do something like that?
I don't know. I mean, that park, that didn't they have to spend a lot of money on lawyers because they fired a police officer for being gay? Isn't that the same group?
I believe that was Audubon Park. But
are they saying the gay officer retired?
That's a good question. That's a good question. I find it funny, it's funnier than anything I could possibly imagine. They're actually asking these retirees to return their retirement, all the money that's ever been paid to them over the years. According to the Audubon Park City officials, for the former chief of police, it's $130,000 they want him to return on his own. According to the Audubon Park mayor, Dorn Crawford, he said they spent months in a lengthy legal review, which means they've had money to pay attorneys, right? And that they realized that the city's pension system did not hold up under state law. So according to Mayor Crawford, the determination was made that this entire program should have been void from the start.
Another fucking plane, Sarah.
Am I cutting out?
No, I was cutting out for a moment. Go ahead.
Okay, yeah, you were earlier. I heard you yelling at Sarah. But, you know, so part of this determination that Mayor Crawford came up with after spending months on legal fees trying to figure it out, said the pension was supposed to be void from the onset because it wasn't it didn't hold up under state law standards. And what's really interesting here, Crawford actually went on to say that Kentucky law prohibits spending any resources beyond the current budget horizon. So what that means is that the pension program has to be funded, and in Audubon Park, you know, taxes nor employee contributions were funding the program. Therefore, it's an invalid. And here's the key. This is where I know you're going to love this, Dale. He couldn't just shut up there. He had to keep talking.
Yep.
So here's the key of what's going on here. In order to avoid liability on the present city officials, it was imperative to stop what we were doing and then make whatever attempts we can to recover any of this money. So this is the whole deal. Apparently, the city council leaders and the city officials didn't know how to do their job properly, so they agreed to this pension to start paying these officers and everything else this pension money. But now that they're going to be on the hook legally to Audubon Park, the people they represent, they'll be on the hook legally for this money because they screwed it up. Now they want to go back and get the retirement money, so they're not in trouble. That's all this is about. Thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, these governments and these pensions, they got to remember the private sector doesn't have the luxury of these pensions. Private sector pensions went out a long time ago. So when you're a government official and you're bellying up to the bar and the guys in the private sector are going to look over at you and say, what's a pension?
Well, you're absolutely right, and that's what makes this so interesting. So in order to protect the mayor wants to protect himself and the city council, so now he's going to go after the people that they've been paying retirement to, as they agreed to do when these people were hired there, and now they're going to go after them for these retirements to try to make them pay back every dime. I think it's incredible. I think it's ridiculous. I think the city of Audubon Park needs to be disbanded and let Kentucky take it over, let the city of Louisville take it over, whatever. Make these people accountable and get rid of these clowns. That was just nuts to me.
Yeah.
We also have some news involving 4th Street Live. Apparently, they're getting two new businesses in the next month, and they're all excited about it. Of course, you know, nobody's paying attention to how many businesses actually closed on 4th Street Live last year. Which is an annual thing. How many businesses have they been through down there just in the last 5 years? Can you think?
No,
can you count that high?
Yeah, they're going to get two new ones. How long are they going to last? I mean, it's just a tourist trap. I don't know any locals who, I mean, I guess some of the young yuppie locals who want to say, hey, look at me, look who I was around, and look where they saw me at, that kind of thing. That people go out there and want to be the hipsters, I guess. But I don't know anybody that goes out there that that is a local over the age of 35. So how long are their new businesses going to last?
Well, the rich white bread crowd goes down there. They get their drug fix. I mean, they've got the designer drug lords down there. You think I'm buying? Walk into a couple of these places and watch the open drug deals. Watch the open drug deals that go on. You know, I mean, LMPD. The last I heard, LMPD isn't allowed to go into the businesses anymore. All they can do is protect 4th Street Live from the outside of the business unless they're called to come in, because they're not allowed to witness these things. And the city officials wanted them to stay the hell out. So they didn't
That's
just make arrest
them. That's not a bad idea. I wish the other businesses outside of their little tourist trap, outside of their downtown tourist trap, I wish other businesses out in the county would get that idea and tell police to stay out.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of them getting that idea. This came from the city officials.
Oh, well, there you go.
Shut that down. That all started with Abramson, and I know this, and you know, but everybody think what they want to about it. But because they can't witness crime without doing something about it, they had to start getting involved in these drug deals. And then they were told, hey, you know what? The city says we need to leave you guys outside so we're not destroying the image of 4th Street Live. So we know the rich bread drug dealers are having fun down there. But apparently they're going to open up two new businesses. One of them is Brazero's Churrascaria. It's a Brazilian steakhouse. You know, so now you got to get a Brazilian steakhouse in there and hope for the best. And, you know, the other one is going to be called Tavern on 4th. Supposedly Tavern on 4th is an upscale bar. We'll find out. But it's amazing to me that we're going to get two more people. They'll be there until their lease is up in 1 year or 2 years, whatever long it is, and then they're going to be gone again. But, you know, so 4th Street Live is still suffering and struggling. It's never, ever produced any income for the city of Louisville. I mean, there is a profit-sharing agreement, and Cordish has never paid them anything. But yet we went last week, and we gave Cordish more money to build some apartments. So, you know, here, where do you go, right? One of the biggest things going on right now, too, and this I'm sure you're going to have some comment on, one of the biggest things going on right now, too, and stories out of Kentucky.com, you guys can go there for that. But you remember Judge John Hayburn made a ruling on February the 7th that Kentucky had to recognize same-sex marriages. Well, we knew that Steve Beshear had the gahonies, that Jack Conway didn't. Attorney General Jack Conway refuses to do his job based on his personal choice, not the law. Well, Steve Beshear actually had to agree with him on this when he decided to formally appeal that case. Well, lo and behold, that same judge today decided to go ahead and stay his own ruling until further order of the U.S. Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals. So this is interesting. Hayburn actually put a stay on this thing, an indefinite stay on it, so that this thing can continue forward with the appeals without having to worry about anything. And he went on to say in his four-page order that it's best that these momentous changes occur upon full review rather than risk a premature implementation or confusing changes. That doesn't serve anyone well. Now, the judge knew this when he made this ruling on February the 27th. You know, he even admits here that it's not going to do any good for anybody until this thing is run the course and went through the legal system, and, you know, we got a final ruling, maybe as far as the Supreme Court. So he knew all this was going to be appealed. He knew it had to be appealed. I think this just puts more light on Jack Conway being the wimp that he is. Go ahead.
Well, Jack Conway, we know he's trying to posture to run for governor, which I sure hope, dear God, that the state will elect him governor. But you look at their past record of electing governors, and doesn't give you a lot of hope. But the fact is, I think there's another one of those issues. It's a news story that shouldn't even be a news story. It shouldn't be news or a story, because I know the libertarians who are with me will say, oh, we're not to that point yet. And I get it from both sides, because the quote-unquote family movement doesn't like it. I won't stand up with them against gay marriage. When you look at the facts and you look at how many of the straight marriages really work out that well, where half of them don't work out, so they want to criticize what the gays do. And I don't, you know, I get it from the gay side, because I'm not going to march in the streets for them. I think marriage should be a private issue. But the fact that you have an attorney general, as I call him, Jack Conway, who doesn't want to enforce the law, I mean, that's, you're supposed to be the attorney general. It's your job to withhold state law. So now I guess how many millions are we going to pay an outside law firm to argue the case, or is Papaw's little boy going to do it?
Well, his little boy isn't going to do it. He's certainly not going to do it, because he's looking to run for attorney general. So if he tried to take this case now, then announce it for attorney general, clearly there's a conflict of interest in it. And, of course, everybody will know who he's, what he's really about then. It won't be him that's doing it, but it will be somebody tied to Steve Beshear, somebody that he owes political favors to. You know, it's a good chance to make sure they line their pockets before he leaves office. So we're sure of that much anyway. But it's just interesting because Haber knew on February the 27th when he ruled on this that it was going to be appealed. There's no way he didn't know that. And again, I just go off of his own statement that this doesn't serve anybody well to implement anything in this until it's decided by a higher court, basically. So Haber knew this. So on February 27th, we were giving Haber a lot of garbage, and I was too, for coming up to that ruling because it defies Kentucky law. But we understood the ruling, why he ruled it that way. But Jack Conway is the story here. This guy just has no idea how to practice law or do his job unless some political person that he's affiliated with tells him what to do. He is nothing but a puppet on a string. So I hope we're finally smart enough to get rid of him in politics, but we'll see. This Mitch McConnell race, I hate talking about Mitch McConnell because it's just to the point where it's getting humorous when you mention Allison Lundgren Grimes, and I call her Alison Wonderland now, Allison Wonderland Grimes and Mitch McConnell, because that's who it's going to come down to, I think, in November. But, you know, they're making this big story now. WFPL Philip Bailey, you know, he's a friend of the show, I guess.
Yeah.
You know, he put out a story today, you know, and he was talking about the campaign cash that's playing such a role in this particular Senate race. And here's the thing. The money raised by both the campaigns, Allison Wonderland Grimes and Mitch McConnell, the money that's going to be raised by the campaigns and the outside groups, the super PACs and all that, they expect to top $100 million. That will make this the most expensive in U.S. history. But what's fascinating is Grimes decides to go to the airwaves, and she can't talk about anything. She won't tell anybody how she feels about any issue, but she wants to go out there and trash the special interest money, and she makes the statement that special interest money has already flooded into Mitch McConnell's campaign. He's the number one recipient of contributions from lobbyists. His super PACs, his Karl Rove-affiliated super PACs, are clogging up the Commonwealth's airways with negative attack ads, and that our democracy is too important to be auctioned off to the highest bidder. Your thoughts on that statement?
Well, I think what she's saying about McConnell is true, but how is she above that? Again, when you're going to run against an incumbent, in ideal, I mean, if you want to talk about Wonderland, I'm talking in Alice in Wonderland terms here as in the fairy tale, because in an ideal world, you would have to prove what you're going to do different to beat an incumbent. But the combination of all the people who vote straight party and the fact that he hasn't done anything, and what she's telling about him is true about his special interest, but how is she above that? She's got all the Hollywood special interests. It's Hollywood versus Hollywood for ugly people, as they call the K Street lobbyists. It's Hollywood for ugly people, the ones in Washington, D.C. How is she any different with all the Ashley Judds and the George Clooney's and all those people? So she's going to get the special interest money, too. This is going to be the biggest joke of a Senate campaign. I said for the longest time, as soon as I knew that she was running, and, again, we still assume that McConnell's going to come out of the primary. For that safe assumption, I sure hope he doesn't, but we'll assume he will for a moment. You're going to have a race about nothing. It's another Seinfeld campaign. What was the race about in 2011 when David Blackjack Williams ran against Papaw Beshear? There was nothing that they truly disagreed about. They were both big government whores, and you got the same thing again with these two. So it's going to be a long summer with two campaigns that don't stand for anything.
Well, you know, that's the interesting thing to me, because I like McConnell's spokeswoman's response to this. The sad part is that Grimes apparently sees no irony in the fact that the special interest group who successfully persuaded her to trample on our First Amendment rights, and of course we're talking about the Citizens United, in the name of money and politics, is the same one who's spending hundreds of thousands of dollars in advertising on her behalf. It's the hypocrisy that drives me nuts. The interesting thing is, this one thing that she is actually talking about at her campaign stops, people, that it's the only thing that people actually applaud about or pay attention to anything she says about, is you have to get rid of the special interest money. What they don't understand is, it doesn't matter whether you get a dollar of special interest money or $10 of special interest money. The devil is still the devil.
Yep.
So I like the way you worded that, because that's the truth of it. I just get really, really sick of this. I don't agree with Citizens United. I've made that very clear from the start. I do not consider a corporation to be a person who has the rights of free speech. I just don't. That's it. You know, a corporation is a legal body. It is not a physical human body.
Right. It doesn't breathe. It doesn't get a vote in an election, but sure gets a lot of money to buy votes in elections. It doesn't get to go in the voters' booth, so they try like hell to make up for it. So I was always uncomfortable and never liked the fact that Mitch McConnell said that big money was free speech. But again, as I've told you off the air and on the air, when I was involved in the Republican Party and active as an insider in that party, all you heard was, oh, don't say nothing bad about McConnell. It's our big money. Don't say anything about his Chinese connections. It's our Chinese connections. It was like you weren't allowed to criticize him. So I'm kind of glad I'm not in any organization where I have to toe that party line. I could just tell the truth about Addison Mitchell Jerome McConnell Jr. He's a bastard.
Well, you know, and the truth will set you free, as we know, you know, and you know, I disagree with you a little bit on McConnell. I don't like McConnell in all ways, but there are some things about the guy I like. We've had that discussion, too. But I'm with that with anybody. We just tell it like we see it on this show. We don't necessarily have to agree on everything. And, you know, I think Mitch has done some good things, you know, but he's also done some boneheaded things. But I think I can say that about any politician. But I do agree in term limits, and I think that Mitch probably needs to go. He's been there too long. You know, if I'm going to be consistent on term limits, then I have to say, see you later, Mitch. But, you know, in this particular case, this is what we're going to be dealing with, and I just find the hypocrisy just so overwhelming. And what I really find insulting is the fact that, you know, the people, these diehard libtards, or, you know, or even the diehard Republicans, you know, they fail to see the hypocrisy. They fail to pay attention to what's really going on. If you told any one of these people at an Allison Lundgren Grimes event, and I've done it actually, talked to a couple of her supporters, and said, hey, look, how can she sit here and scream and yell about special interest money when she's accepting special interest money? There's one or two answers you're always going to get. Oh, you're lying. So they don't want to believe the truth, even though they can find it anywhere. And the second thing is, well, she's not getting as much as McConnell is. What's the difference?
No, they're both What's two the campaigns difference? About – no, you're right. They're both campaigns about special interest. Now, I won't go as far as you and say McConnell's done some good things, but I'm waiting to hear what the good things McConnell has done. If you or any of – not that you're one of his supporters, but either yourself or any of his cheerleaders want to come on and tell us what good he's done, because with the millions and millions of dollars in his big daddy war chest, he doesn't tell you anything good he does. He just goes out and makes up stuff about a businessman who's running against him. If you've been in 30 years – and you have millions of dollars, you mean to tell me after 30 years in the U.S. Senate, the highest body in the land, and millions of dollars to pimp yourself out in a PR campaign, you can't tell us anything good you've done? All you do is back to the slime and dirt and mud? I mean, what have you done productive? And you're going to have two sides, the hardcore Democrats and the hardcore Republicans, not ideology, but party labels, the little letter on their chest, like if they're a little basketball team in March Madness. All they're going to say is, well, they did this. No, they did this first. You're going to hear this all summer long. That's why I said I wish these two were not the nominees. In a perfect, I guess, Alice in Wonderland world, I would have Matt Bevin win the primary and maybe my former professor Greg Lichty win the Democrat primary, and then we'd actually see a campaign about issues.
Well, it's going to be amazing no matter what you go. I think the interesting thing about this race, because I honestly believe it's going to be McConnell Grimes on the party side of it, but the interesting thing is going to be if the media, mainstream media, we're going to get Ed Marksberry on air. I've been wanting to bring Ed on air, and I've been holding off on it because right now you've got the primary season. Let's see what happens here. But, you know, once this primary is over, we're going to bring Marksberry on air and get him involved in the process because he is the third. He is the independent candidate. And it's going to be interesting to see if mainstream will give him a voice so that he could try to make this about issues, or if they're just going to ignore him like they do most independents.
I'd like to see you also bring on David Patterson, the Libertarian Party's official candidate.
We're going to do that. We're going to bring all the candidates on for the Senate.
I mean, that's
come
what
on.
I'm saying about issues. I mean, if you had,
right,
and people can call him far left or far right, I don't know Marksberry's politics enough. I know the Democrat Party screwed him over like the Republican Party did a lot of us. But
well,
you might have
independent.
A campaign about issues. Alison Lundgren
right.
Grimes and Mitch McConnell are not going to have a campaign about issues. It's going to be about your special interest did worse than my special interest. And I just go back to, you know, one of our political heroes, the late, great Gatewood Galbraith. He would stand in the middle of both of them and say, I agree with both of you. You're both telling the truth about the horrible things the others are doing.
Gatewood was a character, man. I tell you what, I really miss that guy sometimes. When we get into campaigns that Gatewood's running, I used to love going to listen to Gatewood talk, because this was a liberty-minded guy. And, you know, sometimes you miss it. It's just a damn shame that he got ridiculed and labeled over 30 years ago because of the marijuana thing at that time in life, because they would never let that go and listen to the rest of his mantra.
And he was right about it.
He was. Oh, he was right about it. But like he always said on his last campaign, when he announced that he was running for governor on the My View Matters radio show. And, you know, so when he announced that, you know, one of the first things he said, and it was always funny because he started every speech he ever gave. You know, 30 years ago when he was talking about marijuana, they said I was 30 years before my time. Well, here we are 30 years later. And he was right. Let's talk about Senate Bill 205 for a minute. I'm of two minds about this. For one thing, it's not going to get passed through the House. You know, but Senate Bill 205 was sponsored by Republican floor leader Damon Thayer. And what this bill essentially was going to do was allow a candidate who is running for statewide election to also be eligible to run for the office of the presidency or vice presidency. So if you're running for the highest office in the land, but you're a candidate, you know, or an incumbent in a state election that comes on at the same time, you know, then they were going to allow you to run for both. It passed by 25-13 vote in the Senate, which clearly was the Republican majority. Of course, Speaker Greg Stumble was laughing at the idea that this thing is going to get out of the House. But essentially, this was put together because, guess what, folks? In 2016, Rand Paul, who is leading the last polls for the Republican nomination for president, he's also up for reelection to the Senate. So, you know, it was a shadow attempt to make sure that Rand Paul gets a chance to stay in Washington one way or the other, and it passed through the Kentucky Senate handily, which we expected it to. Is this bill a good bill? I mean, I know Greg Stumble is laughing, Dale, and you know, probably, and I know that's politics, but is this bill really a good bill anyway, to allow somebody to run for two offices simultaneously?
Well, I don't know if it's a good bill or not. I mean, we know we've never had the opportunity of somebody who would in Kentucky run for both president and U.S. Senate. We know that's happened in other states because we look at the fact that in 2012, Paul Ryan, nobody really thought it was a big deal. The neocons didn't care that Paul Ryan was running for reelection in the district for Congress the same time he was running as vice president. But I think it's a big deal. I don't know if it's good or bad, but I think it's a big deal now because people see how legitimately a chance that Rand Paul has of being the nominee, because if he didn't have a good chance of being the nominee, this wouldn't be an issue. The thing I always try to explain to people is, remember, in Kentucky, we're one of the very last to ever have a vote in the presidential primary. So it's always decided before then. So in honesty, I mean, what's changed? I mean, the conventions, yeah, I understand the conventions will be in June or July, but we know that we're going to hear who's supposedly the nominee by the time March rolls around. So in reality, he could be the nominee, or I'm sorry, the assumed nominee with the most supposed support and electoral votes and all that in the caucuses by the end of March, and not even have to run for U.S. Senate primary until May. And then I could bring out the question of who is going to beat Rand Paul in a Republican Senate primary. I don't know if Charles Merwin Grayson IV is going to be running back to Kentucky with his balls between his legs by then or not to try to get back in politics like I heard he's rumored to want to do. But again, we don't ever have a say in the presidential election, so I don't think it's a bad bill. I can understand both sides of it because I've never been somebody who wants to see somebody run for two spots at the same time. I've always thought that he should just run on the Senate ticket in Kentucky and not try to get on the ballot for president in Kentucky, because let's think about it. Kentucky isn't going to make or break the president. Now, we might have the president from Kentucky if he becomes the eventual nominee, but Kentucky has never been a kingmaker and decided who is president. So I think we could settle the issue and just not have him on the ballot for president, and he could still have the nomination wrapped up way before we got to vote.
But is it a good idea? I mean, that's the thing here. I mean, you mentioned Paul Ryan. You mentioned Paul Ryan, and you're right about that. You know, most of America doesn't even realize that Paul Ryan was running simultaneous offices as vice president and to keep his seat. Most Americans don't realize that. You know, they really don't. And the
nobody
thing is,
nobody cares except for his opposition up in his home state, because all politics are local, as Tip O'Neill said, and it's true, because nobody across the country outside of the borders of the Bluegrass State are going to care that Rand Paul's on our ballot twice. But I don't know if it's a good bill or a bad bill. I'm like you. I'm kind of undecided on that. I can see both sides of it.
Well, see, because, yeah, no, and that's the thing of it, because when you look at local and state elections, you know, we get to the point where we talk about one-term limits. We talk about that all the time. And two, if you want to move to the next office, then quit the one you're in. So when you look at that on the state and local level, it makes a difference. When you look at that as you're going for the highest job in the land, you know, then that kind of makes an exception to the rule. I like the fact that the Senate passed it. I understand the people who would oppose it, but I don't like the fact that people like Greg Stumbo are looking at this and laughing at this idea like it's something ridiculous.
Oh, it's all political to
because
them.
We already have...
Yeah, it's all political to Stumbo. If it had been, I can't think of a good name, but back in the days when the dinosaurs were roaming the earth, if it had been...
Well, if it was Bruce Lunsford or Steve Beshear, yeah, they wouldn't feel the same way.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I'm trying to get somebody who might have been in that position back when we had dinosaurs roaming the earth, right, and we had people like Wendell Ford William Natcher. If one of those old dinosaurs wanted to run for president, even at their advanced age, and also running for Congress, you know those Democrats would have been for it. So, again, it's that whole this side versus that side. I just want to ask you honestly, Ed, since you are a few years older than me, when's the last time that a primary for president was not decided well before May? You tell me, because in my lifetime, the primary for president, we knew who the nominee was going to be way before May.
You know, I wish I could tell you. You know, that, and that's the thing,
so
too.
Either,
should
that's
be.
What I'm saying. I would rather... If I were Rand, and obviously Rand's not taking advice from me, if I were Rand, I would just intentionally avoid getting on the ballot in Kentucky, because let's remember, folks, and this won't be news to a lot of our audience, but for people who may be listening in for the first time, we don't elect the president. Something made up of only Democrats and Republicans called the Electoral College elects the president. Ed and Dale and Ed and Ken Moman, all these people, we don't elect the president. The Electoral College does. So if I were Rand, I would just not let my name be on the ballot in Kentucky for president, because, again, if you have all the votes in Iowa and in New Hampshire and in Louisiana and Florida and Georgia and these bigger states that vote way before us, you're going to have the nomination wrapped up. So why would you need to be on the ballot for Kentucky presidency?
Well, see, and that brings me to the next point. I mean, really, truthfully, I mean, that's something we've talked about. We continually talk about on this show. And in different circles, believe it or not, the old guard loves the fact that we don't have primaries until May.
Yeah.
But, you know, the majority of the people, you know, wish that we would move our primaries up so we would not be taken for granted, because that's what happens. You don't see a lot of money spent in Kentucky for presidential elections. You don't see a lot of candidates spend a lot of time here. They make a pass-through because of the obligatory pass-through, but they don't do anything to focus on Kentucky, because you're right. We don't really influence that national election that we call the presidency. So, you know,
why
would
the mainstream media, I mean, of course, shows like this one, but especially the mainstream whores, why wouldn't the mainstream media be trying to push? We know they push for their own agenda. We know they're always activists who parade and charade and clothe themselves as journalists, quote unquote. So why would not the mainstream media in Kentucky, why wouldn't the Courier Journals and the Herald Leaders and the LKY and WHAS and Fox 41, why wouldn't they be trying to, behind the scenes, lobby for an earlier primary system? Because they would make bootloads of money for the candidates coming here and buying ads.
Well, that's the thing, because they can't. You know, that's the thing with our local media. When you get into your Gannett's and your Clear Channels, WDRB, I mean, Bill Lammas went such a 180 from what he was just a few years ago. It's incredible.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know, when you look at all these people are beholden to the local Democratic Party. I mean, that's the Democratic mafia here in Louisville.
Yeah.
You know, they control the news, and the news controls them. So, you know, it's this nice little sleep-together arrangement they have that destroys it. But I'm like you. I don't understand it. We need to seriously look at it. And I really wish that these clowns would do their job and start looking at stuff like that, versus wasting time on something as simple as, you know, if a guy wants to run for president and Senate at the same time, you know, we already have examples, as you mentioned, Paul Ryan, you know, and you told the truth on that. And as you mentioned, you know, we already have examples where this is working in other states. Why is it that we have to still continually be behind the times and not move to a 21st century mindset? It's because we still have the same old idiots like Greg Stumbo and the up-and-comers of the old guard like Jack Conway, who don't have a clue and want to maintain their personal power and control, not what's good for the Commonwealth or the citizens of this state. So that's the way it is. We're going to take a quick break, folks. We got to get our break in. And we get back, we're going to move on to some national issues I think you guys are going to really like. And we'll start with Pennsylvania. It's a story I mentioned last night on the air, and I want your opinion, Dale, because I know you're going to love this. If you guys are new to the show, 858-683-1326, or you can call 502-805-0334. If you guys are listening to you, don't forget that number one. We'll be right back. Listen to the Ed Springer Show on the MVM Radio Network. Stay tuned.
First impressions aren't the most important thing. They're the only thing. At Ernie's Print Shop, we'll produce what you need to represent your company professionally. Right now, you can get 1,000 full-color business cards, 1,000 4x6 postcards, or a 3x5 banner for just $60. You choose. Check us out at erniesprintshop.com. Ernie's Print Shop. Over 50 years, one source, one solution. erniesprintshop.com. 502-969-8585.
Being a victim of crime is no joke, but you do have options that can help you avoid becoming a victim. I'm Ed Springson of the My View Matters radio show, and on behalf of myself and co-host Ed Martin, I urge each of you to help us fight against crime. You can do your part by calling Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE. Since 1982, Crime Stoppers has helped get over 23,000 criminals off the street with your help. Working together, we can make a difference to take our streets back. Please call Crime Stoppers at 582-CLUE, or you can visit them online at www.582clue.com. Remember, Crime Stoppers always offers up to a $1,000 reward. Get involved and help make a positive change in your neighborhood. Thanks.
Advertisers, here's a great way to reach a quality audience. Get heard on My View Matters and make some noise in the marketplace.
Email myviewmatters@aol.com for advertising opportunities. Make a sound investment.
We spend so much time talking about liberty issues, freedom, elections, everything else, you know, and then we get stories like this that just make us say, you know, enough is enough. Apparently, we mentioned this last night, Dale, and I want to put this story out there because right. It's so much, we do the same thing here, but apparently Philly.com is reporting about their Attorney General, Kathleen Kane, who took office last year in 2013, decided to shut down an investigation that was nailing Democrats for fraud. There was a plea arrangement made between a guy who was nailed for a $430,000 fraud case named Tyrone Ali. He was arrested in a $430,000 fraud case. So he made a plea deal. He was a lobbyist, and part of his plea deal was he was going to wear a wire and tape these bribes being offered to officials. The thing about it is these bribes were offered to both Democrats and Republicans. They were offered to both white and black elected representatives. But it, this undercover sting started 3 years ago by the former Attorney General Republican Tom Corbett. And yet they found four leading Philadelphia Democrats, including four members of the state's House delegation, one judge, I mean, all kinds of people, you know, but all of them were Democrats. All of them were African-American that took advantage of this.
Right.
Cash gifts. Yeah. So this Attorney General, Kathleen Kane, shut it down, saying that the investigation was poorly conceived, badly managed, tainted by racism, and had intentionally targeted African-Americans. Even though they had all they've got all this taped evidence of these people doing this, okay, it was open to anybody and everybody, white, black, green, yellow, or purple, Republican or Democrat, or independent if they have any, you know. But State Rep. Ronald Waters took a bunch of different payments that totaled about $7,600. State Rep. Vanessa Brown took $4,000, and she is on tape when she accepted the money. She put it in her purse, opened the envelope, and said, "Yo, good looking. Thank you twice." You know, so that's a thank you for each grand. And Ali gave her the money and asked her to vote against a bill, you know, a voter ID bill. They didn't want voters to show identification at the polls. And she took the money in exchange for that vote. It's clear evidence. Michelle Brownlee received $3,500. And State Rep. Louise Bishop took $1,500. This is incredible to me. We have a judge that agreed to take a bribe, and it was nothing more than a necklace. Received a necklace in exchange for some special favor. So 400 hours of audio and video recordings of Tyrone Ali meeting with public officials just went down the drain because Democrat Attorney General Kathleen Kane wanted to protect her Democrat buddies in the state house who helped her get elected. Why do we not care? Why do we get so worried about elections, Dale?
Well, I'm wondering if our own Louisville Metro Council are looking to these guys for example. Like you said, we have three or four black Democrats. I'm not going to say they're African-American because I haven't seen that they were born in Africa, so I think they're probably just black. And yet not one of them was charged with a crime. I mean, it's the new game for kids of all ages. You just play the race card, got a murder rap, smoking crack on camera, you know, get car kickbacks for city contracts. Hey, I'm just a poor, underprivileged black man. Just play the race card. Fun for kids of all ages.
It works out that way. You remember William Jefferson Clinton? You know, he got caught with cash in his freezer, got away with it.
Yeah.
You know, this is the thing that goes on. And I tell you, it's just amazing to me. It startles me.
Well, you talked about Democrats and Republicans, so here's my question. If again, back in my own fantasy land, if reality set in on these idiots, a secure grand jury is in order for Kane and her cronies, in my opinion, but will the governor of Pennsylvania have the balls to use an assistant AG to convene it? Because the state AG is the subject of the investigation.
No. And truthfully, the only people that would have a chance of doing anything like that, in my opinion, would be the Attorney General of the United States, Eric Holder himself. And we all know that Eric Holder is nothing more than
he's
a racist pig.
He's got to be in their back pockets, too, with all these black Democrats.
Right.
So.
He's a racist pig. He's the one who let the Philadelphia New Black Panther Party off the hook for threatening white people when they showed up to vote. So, you know, I mean, this is the whole thing. That's the racism at large. So who's playing all this racist card? That's what drives me nuts.
It's the Philadelphia mob. They're not quite up to Chicago standards, but they're aspiring for it.
Well, that's the thing. And Kathleen Kane went on to say that, you know, that these allegations are nothing more than a political sexist, a racist attack from her Republican enemies. It's nothing more than a good old boys club playing political games to discredit her in order to fulfill their own selfish and improper agenda. Attorney General Kane, let me tell you something. It's not good old boys club playing political games when they've got audio and video of your Democratic brethren accepting bribes in order to vote against voter ID laws to make the playing field work. It's just incredible to me that this happens, and nobody in the federal government who can do something about this will because of the racist Attorney General, Eric Holder. So I thought that was an interesting story. You'd probably want to comment on it.
The elected officials didn't even have to wait for the I guess you call them the bribees to come by and have this done. Who was the one guy, Ali? What was his name?
Tyrone Ali.
Yeah, Tyrone Ali didn't have to reach out to like the officials. They called him. I mean, yeah. I guess the recording went something like this. Hey, this is State Representative Michelle Brownlee, and I'll be in my office tomorrow between 5 and 7 to accept bribes. Bring cash or money orders, please.
You know, it probably was that simple. It probably was that simple. You know, and when you look
at
it...
That's probably how they do it in Metro Council, right, down there at Old City Hall?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And that's the crazy thing about it. You get into Philadelphia, you get into Philly, you get into Pennsylvania, you get into Ohio. You know, how many people have been caught voting multiple times as a Democrat? They'll vote multiple times under somebody else's assumed names. I mean, we've got people that are assuming names of their grandmothers and everything else voting 3 or 4 times for their candidate. We've got some that have actually gone to jail for voter fraud. You know, low-level players that nobody cares about, of course. You know, we've got all these instances of voter fraud. I have not seen one instance of Republican voter fraud. Now, I hate to choose sides here, but I haven't seen one instance or one report of Republican voter fraud. But we see daily these reports of Democrat voter fraud. We've got some districts where, you know, they've had examples of votes being done for candidates that totaled more than the amount of legitimate voters in the district. You know, and this is a great example of how we get that to happen.
Well, it's in Pennsylvania, and a side story. I don't know if you followed this. Did you see the kind of sidebar story about the DA dropping a rape charge? Again, since you said I had to bring this up, since you said there's no Republican cronyism, the DA dropped a rape charge against a former county GOP chairman in Pennsylvania. Did you read that story?
I did not read that story. I didn't get that far.
Yeah, the evidence in question was a toxicology report that was thought to have found the drug Zolpidem, as we know as Ambien, in his system. So they claimed that there was this rape issue. It got really ugly. I'll have to find the story and send it to you. But the DA dropped a rape charge against a former county GOP chairman. So I think maybe the Republicans just, it's kind of like some of our corrupt Republicans around here, they just haven't quite gotten winning the elections down. This is a DA story that came out of PANews.com, and I think they're trying to learn from the Democrats so they can be great politicians too. I'll have to put the link in the chat room for you. But basically, it was a situation based on a recent discovery that the DA's investigative team had, quote, misinterpreted a piece of evidence in this grand jury against a former GOP chairman accused of rape. So it kind of cuts both ways too. They're pretty messed up in Pennsylvania, Philadelphia.
Well, I have no doubt about that, but that's a different thing than voter fraud. He was accused of rape.
Oh, I know. I'm just saying it's not quite the same corruption.
Yes.
I mean, Philly just
well,
trying to make themselves known as being number two. They're trying to shoot for Chicago got the number one seed, and Philadelphia's the number two seed in the region.
Right. Well, that's it. That's it. And it's just hilarious to me. You know, and we continue talking about voter fraud, and we've talked about that many times on this show. We've got great examples all over the country of it. You know, and now I'm going to kind of go international on you because I want to know, did Russia teach our Democrats how to do voter fraud, or did our Democrats teach Russia how to do that? And I'll tell you why I bring that up. The Gateway Pundit, you had a turnout. If you remember, Crimea went ahead and decided to take a vote to rejoin Russia. And leave, you know, the Ukraine and all that. Well, what you have here, Sevastopol, Crimea residents voted to rejoin Mother Russia. If you believe the authorities there, 474,137 people voted on the referendum. The problem is the permanent population of the city and that was present at the time was about 385,000 people. So almost 100,000 more votes were cast than the actual residents of the city. That's 123% vote turnout to rejoin Russia. You know, now here's the flip side of that. You know, we know that there's a serious problem with this. But what bothers me about the whole situation really isn't how they voted or how they did it. That's Russia's problem. What bothers me is I have to agree with Rand Paul. Because Rand Paul is sitting there and challenging the fact that we even care or involved in any way. Because on Monday, Barack Obama froze the U.S. assets of 7 Russian officials because of their involvement in Crimea. What is the difference between Russia getting involved in Crimea and deciding to go ahead and establish their own government there. What is the difference between that and us going into Iraq and trying to establish a democracy there?
No, I'm glad you said it. There's no difference. The only thing you're slightly mistaken, it may have just been a slip of the tongue. It was Ron Paul who said that, so what if Crimea secedes?
I apologize. You're absolutely right.
Because Rand Paul hasn't quite learned. I mean, that apple's fallen a little too far from the tree sometimes, because Rand Paul acted like, and I haven't heard anything in the last hour or two this afternoon since I've been off work, but Rand Paul was acting like he liked the sanctions idea. And I guess he didn't listen to his dad too much, because Ron Paul's the one that had the op-ed in the USA Today yesterday saying, why is the U.S. so eager to saddle up for this war? So I agree with you. It looks like they're learning from Chicago and Philadelphia. I mean, why would the U.S. give a damn which flag is hoisted on a small piece of land thousands of miles away? We have these government indoctrination camps called public schools, and the kids can't even label all 50 states. I guarantee you they can't tell you where Crimea is. So why do we care what flag is hoisted on that small piece of geographical area?
Well, and I agree with you. I don't see the difference. I mean, we keep engaging ourselves in this idea of nation building. We go to Iraq and try to establish a government there of democracy. Yep. We go into all of these different places, Afghanistan, Libya, all these different places we want to continue getting involved in around the world and tell them how to live their life. And here Russia is taking, basically doing the same thing in the Ukraine. You know, and they're starting with Crimea.
I think it's great if this city secedes, because it gives other people around the world hope. And I know the American media don't want to see this successful, because people in the United States might get the idea to secede. They don't want that.
Well, the problem is, though, and in my opinion, I mean, if we're going to get into that secession argument, the problem is Russia, you know, installed their own government. They installed their own people into government to force this to happen. I mean, they did that. You know, they invaded and did their own thing, and then you've got to vote, but you better vote the way we tell you to, because their own people are there. I get all of that, you know, but to me that's no different than when we
installed. But how do you know the Russian military?
Karzai in Iraq, huh?
Here's my question: do you think? I mean, this is a non sequitur, so it's almost rhetorical. Do you think that is Vladimir Putin not about 200,000 times smarter and ballsier than Barack Hussein Obama?
Oh, I think you could double that number.
So, again, if that's the case, and he's leader of the Russian military, don't you think they probably wouldn't have gone in there until they saw it was a safe bet that a lot of those people wanted to leave Ukraine in the first place? I think that's the point. The Russian Federation had it for 200 years. Again, Crimea had only been part of Ukraine. I keep making that error and call it the Ukraine. I try to keep people from doing. Crimea had only been a part of Ukraine, Crimea, Crimea, however you want to say it, since 1954. It was in Russian Federation hands for 200 years. It had only been part of Ukraine for 60 years.
But see, I agree with you. But see, I don't see Crimea being a real big issue now. But the real big issue is, I don't think that Vladimir Putin really is using Crimea as anything more than a way to turn people against the United States. And I tell you why. This guy is former KGB. He's smart as hell.
Yep.
He's smart as hell.
Yep.
But let's look at the reality here. He's been griping all along when we went into Iraq, when we went into Afghanistan, when we went into Libya, Syria, whatever, you name it, all the places we're at. And he is the one who's been griping all along that it's not right for us to keep going in and do this nation building. So for him, the next chess move is, okay, let's pull the same game, let's pull the same gun, let's shoot the same bullet that Obama is doing with the U.S. and his predecessor Bush did with the U.S. Let's do things by their rules.
Yep.
You know,
well, that's
and what does that mean?
Because we can see now, not being inside their borders, we see how scary it is. And now maybe some Americans, not a lot will, because too many are zombies and they like to amuse themselves to death, a la Neil Postman in his book. But maybe some Americans will say, damn, that's what it looks like when we're going around the globe and telling cities you're going to be part of us. And I don't understand, we don't colonize. But like you said, Iraq, I mean, come on, Kuwait, all these countries that we get involved in
well,
have
yeah.
nothing to do with us. So I
well,
can see both sides of it. It's very scary because you see they see what Putin's doing. And if you put sanctions against them, where does most of the natural gas in the world come from? It comes from right over there in the Russian area. So
sure.
You're going to screw yourself. He's just going to laugh at your country when you put sanctions on. So it's a dangerous situation. But I just want to go back really quickly to the Crimea situation. Should Turkey now come back and try to take Crimea from Russia? Because Russia won Crimea from the Ottoman Empire. Russia did not give it to Ukraine. Soviet Union, central government rezoned the borders. So maybe that can happen in other areas as well. Maybe in some areas of the Russian Federation favor, maybe there should be an effort to redraw all those borders. The practice is one of the worst ideals as international stability is concerned.
And we can't argue with that. You know, I think this is Vladimir Putin playing chess at his finest. I think he's actually trying to say, okay, what's good for the goose is good for the gander, and we're going to go ahead and make the world hate you even worse. And I think he played a great game. One quick phone call just came in. And the only reason I'm taking this is because I think it's our good friend Ken Molman. How are you, sir?
I'm doing fine, guys. How you doing?
Yeah, tonight? How are you, brother?
Doing good, man. What can we do for you?
I was just going to say, you know, we don't colonize. Dale said, you know, we don't colonize that which we invade. We don't colonize, we corporatize.
Right, exactly.
And that's, I think, you know, the real difference there is that we don't claim it as ours, but we install a military and then we leave security forces behind and we install foreign corporations in those countries. And I think that's, you know, in the end it's the same thing. We don't call it the United States, but when you have our security forces, our private contractors, our military, whoever it is, they're, you know, it's no different than with Putin, you know, rolling tanks into Crimea, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's basically invading.
Well, that's
so,
what I mean, if Turkey comes along, Ken, for those of us who know our history and the government indoctrination camps don't teach it, I'm aware, but if Turkey came along and now says, hey, now we want Crimea back, we let the Soviet Union borrowed for a while. Turkey wanted to claim that back for the old Ottoman Empire. Well, then the American chicken hawks, chicken shit hawks, as I call them, will they then come along and now side with Russia because we want the one who stole it in the first place and not have it stolen back?
Well, that's a good
ideally,
point.
You know, ideally, you would have a system where people would be able to secede from countries where they really have no vested interest with the rest of the country. I mean, make no mistake, after World War II, we carved up Eastern Europe in a way that really didn't make a whole lot of sense because it was just convenient for borders. It had nothing to do with ethnicity or historical anything.
Yeah.
And so I think that there's one argument that says that everyone should be allowed to be their own thing and live happily and peacefully amongst each other. The other side says we have to force all these people to live together so that they don't go to war with one another instead. And I reject the second notion. Just because you're different from somebody doesn't mean you have to go to war with them.
Ken, you're a smart man. Let me ask you this. Do you remember, Ken, the last example of when a country broke up into multiple parts and no one made a big damn deal about it? I know the example. I bet you know, too.
The last one I know of was Czechoslovakia.
Yep, you got it. The Czech Republic and Slovakia broke up. They said, hey, we're just not getting along. Didn't have to bring any expensive, slimy divorce attorneys or anything. They just went their separate ways. It was beautiful.
I'm pretty sure is that where that country, Belarus or whatever it is from, too? I can't keep track. I just saw them on the Olympics.
Yeah, they broke up. I mean, Czechoslovakia basically broke in two because, like you just said, it made me think about that country when you mentioned the fact that they didn't have anything in common with each other. Why do people think that's such a horrible, terrible, I guess it would be racist, sexist, homophobic, bigoted, but terrorist ideal that a country like the United States might have states break up? We realize that dictator Emperor Lincoln didn't want them to do that, and we saw what his deal was, but what the hell do people in Manhattan, New York have in common with Wyoming, or what do people in South Beach, Florida have in common with people in rural northern Kentucky? Why should they be forced to be in the same country, Ken?
And that's exactly the question, and that's with Russia's vetoing of the resolution against the elections. You know, it does set the precedent that, in theory, other nations should be allowed to do the same thing. And I'm not calling for secession myself, but I'm saying that in general, if people aren't happy with the government they have, I mean, our founding documents make it very clear that we have the right to replace our government with a government that serves the needs of the people.
Yep.
And I think that's a overriding principle, not just to America, but in general. If you live in a country where you're oppressed, then you should either stop being part of that country or get out of that country, one or the other. People can live together peacefully when they live amongst people with the same needs and the same wants and the same desires. And, you know, if the people of Crimea really do, I know there was voter fraud. I mean, the turnout was ridiculous. But if they really are happier being their own thing or being a part of Russia, then who cares? Who cares?
Well, the biggest difference for me is it doesn't concern us anyway. That's their problem. You know, and that's the whole situation for me. We can't sit out here and do the nation building and continue to involve ourselves in world affairs and claim some kind of ownership over Iraq and then gripe at Russia for doing the same thing that we do with the Ukraine. But we can do this, though. We are out of time. We've got to go. Ken, thanks a lot for the call. I wish you'd have chimed in earlier. I'd love to talk about this more. We appreciate it. And for you guys listening, you can catch Ken Mollman on Sunday nights right here on the MVM Radio Network with his Liberty Unbridled program. Same time, same channel, 7 o'clock. Thanks again, Ken. Dale, final thoughts.
Well, final thoughts. I kind of agree with Ken that I'm not calling for secession, but I'm calling for people to have the balls and the heart and the guts that if they believe in secession to call for. There was a great book that Jason Sorens up in the Free State Project of New Hampshire wrote. Jason Sorens wrote a book called Secessionism, Identity, Interest, and Strategy. And it reads more like a textbook, so it might bore some of the people who are too busy watching Dancing with the Stars and all that BS. But it was a great book that talked about the fact that there is a history of states dividing up when they don't get along with each other, like Ken and I were talking about there. And it talks about the struggles of places like Kashmir and the Basque country and Chechnya and Kurdistan. And it points to the fact that we have in Canada another Montreal movement where they want to secede. And the Scottish Liberty Movement is making big grounds there. So I agree with Ken. We're not calling for secession, but we're calling for people to have the balls to speak up for secession, because there are a lot of innovative methods to break up and do your own thing. You can stay in line and be another sheep led to the slaughter, or you can stand up and be independent and say death to the New World Order.
And that's pretty much my cue. I'm going to keep mine short and sweet. To me, I'm getting sick of the hypocrisy. You know, we the United States was always respected and feared. We were feared because of our might. We were respected because of our daggone refusal to take advantage of that. We had the military power, but now it seems like we have the right to unleash it anywhere we want to for our own gains. Ken mentioned corporatism, and I think that's a great way to put it. How many billions of dollars and how many thousands of lives have we lost in Iraq, Afghanistan, Syria, Libya, you name it, everywhere? Because we continue interjecting ourselves into other people's internal struggles. And that's the situation that we have to get over. That's the situation we have to avoid. You know, just because you have the power and the might doesn't give you the right to instill your will. But if you're going to go down that road, you can't chastise others and be hypocrites and go after Vladimir Putin. Do I like Russia? No. Can't stand it. Can't stand communism. And no matter what they say, it's still communism. I don't care that they supposedly are a democracy right now, but it's still communism. The way that they're run is no better nor worse than what we've got. And I find it insulting that the America that has been respected and feared for our entire existence over the last decade or so is looked at. We should be humiliated by what we have allowed our so-called leadership to do, because more than 50% of this country don't get involved in their electoral process and demand accountability. Because that's where it starts. Get your head out of your butt and get involved. Let's make new leaders. Let's make new people that are going to sit here and value and respect this little thing we call the Constitution. Not the corporate Constitution that they installed later. Let's go back to the founding documents and realize we can't all get along. But we're not going to get along as long as we think that we have the right to tell others around the world how to live. It just doesn't work that way. You want peace, demand it. That's it for tonight. Dale skipped out, so I have no idea. I knew he had to leave right on the hour, so I have no idea what he was going to talk about tomorrow night. We went a couple of minutes over. Make sure you check out Dale with the TNT Thursday Night True Show tomorrow night at 7 right here. And don't forget, once again, our good friend Ken Mollman and his brand of Liberty Unbridled on Sunday night at 7 right here. In the meantime, folks, that's it for me this week. I'll see you on Monday. Have a great week. Thanks so much for listening. Take care.